Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
But death and taxes, right?
Yeah, and they keep coming, don't they? They certainly keep coming. Man, I am definitely honored to have you on the show with us today, and I'm sure our listeners, man, definitely got their ears tuned to the radio, to the headphones, to everything, man, so they kind of soak up some of this knowledge and some of the things that's been going on. And I want to be the first to congratulate you on the nomination for, you know, the Industry Executive of the Year. You know, Southern Entertainment Awards, you know, I know that was a fantastic thing.
Oh, definitely was, you know, very special.
Yeah, well, you know, tell the listeners about that. I mean, you know, with all your past achievements and stuff, and I know you've been, well, let's get the listeners, the ones that don't know you, let them know who Kermit is. Give us a little background on, you know, for
well,
them.
Well, I've been working on I've been working in the industry forever, you know, excuse me, since before a lot of listeners probably was even born. So, and during that time, my basic background is retail and distribution. That's where I started off at. And over the years, I've worked with a lot of major labels and independent labels and artists and all that. And for doing the work that I've done, I've always been underpaid, but at least I've gotten out the deal. I've gotten... close to 200 now, gold and platinum records. A lot of them you can see on my Facebook page. And also have over 90 number one records that I've worked on that I've either had something to do with either distributing, promoting, marketing, work with artists or whatever. So, but the thing that's different about this Southern Entertainment Awards is that, you know, you're nominated by the public.
Yeah, peers.
Yeah, your peers. So it's like it's real interesting because you know, it's over the years, like, you know, you deal with people, you know, that do similar things to you or whatever, but by having a nomination like this, it shows me that I've reached out to the masses as far as people in general, because when I go to conferences, I try to make myself available. I just don't hang around in the VIP room and all of that. In fact, I don't even go in there. I usually sit by the front door, introduce myself to people, talk to them or whatever, especially new people, seem like they lost or whatever, and we just talk. That's how I've always networked. I never put myself, you know, I never was one to come from the limo at the back door, park in the VIP room. You can't see me, and I'm too important. I've always been like, no, I want to be out there with them.
I know. I'm gonna vote. So how could other people go vote?
Well, they could go directly to the website, which is Southern spelled out ENTAwards.com, or they can also find it on my website, WeMakeSuperstars.com, which is also referred to as Superstar Central, but it's WeMakeSuperstarsPlural.com, and then the information will be there. And it's also, like I said, just go directly to the voting site. You have to go down to where it's the industry exec. You know, like it's like several nominations. So it's like going in to vote, you know, on election day. But you just have to, you know, just take your time and do it. You might see some other categories that interest you or whatever.
Right.
Or somebody could just, or somebody want me just to send them the link. It may be easy for them just to email me at superstarmaker@gmail. That's SUPERSTARMAKER, superstarmaker@gmail.com. And just ask for the voting link and I'll send it to them and I'll make it real easy for them.
Well, that's cool. So all y'all listeners go there and support my boy Kermit, you know what I'm saying? And I know we had some big things going on last year. What you got cracking for 2011? I know you got some stuff in the mix.
Oh, but it's really interesting to go from one, you know, I really like the fact that I deal with different genres of music because last year, you know, I've done a lot of hip-hop, R&B, dance, and even classical stuff. And it just odd how stuff can just go from one thing to another. And then coming out the box in 2011, I have several gospel releases and a jazz release. And, you know, just interesting, you know, like I just, you know, it's just good to deal with all types of music. I mean,
right.
You know, we also deal with country artists. I mean, we deal with all types of music. So, you know, the listeners, you know, don't feel like, you know, you have to be a R&B singer or a rapper. You know, we deal with all the kind of music. We're getting stronger in the country area. We had a number one country record, by the way, by a group called Coldwater Canyon out of Los Angeles. Yeah.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. And, you know, and it's good to be well-rounded and just to appreciate music. And that's how, you know, I, you know, as a partner, colleague, you know, I can tell you're definitely true, you know, industry professional because you appreciate music, you know, and it's not gender specific.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of appreciating music, when I was visiting you, I was appreciating the stuff you had, the Golden Touch record you got on your wall. Something about me on the phone. I mean, I just feel like a light bulb. You the sun.
No, you need to quit that. I mean, the thing that for the listeners that don't know Kermit, for those who want to call in, hit us up at 347-308-8747. We got Mr. Kermit Henderson with us. And the thing that I can say about you, Kermit, you're one of the most humblest brothers I know in the industry, and with a fine sense of humor, because if they didn't know you, they don't know you. That's all I got.
I know.
To say.
I know what you're saying.
And the good thing too, man. While you know I'm giving you these accolades and stuff, which is all true, people, which is all really, 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 really true. You know, your humility is definitely. I mean, I can't say that enough, man, because, you know, a guy once told me a long time ago in the music business, hey, man, never get so big, never get so important you can't listen to people. And I noticed that a good thing about you, you listen to people, you talk to people, that's a giant, man. That's a giant.
I have to admit something, you know, like in dealing with the industry, whatever, sometimes it is hard to be humble. You know, when it seems like you're accomplishing so much and people patting you on the back and telling you you're great, it's hard to be humble. But the way I do it is I live a simple lifestyle and I never let, you know, like I feel like, you know, material things don't matter to me, you know, and I'm the type of person that I just, you know, I was just, you know, I had a good upbringing and I feel that no one person is better than no other person. So if I see a homeless person at a bus stop, to me it's just as important as somebody riding by in a Bentley or something. I don't think that nobody's any better than anybody else. So that's how I live my life. So it's easy to be humble when you put yourself among just, you know, people. You know, just put yourself among people and not above people. And I guess that's part of it there. Because I'm saying in the music industry, I mean, you know yourself. You know, and you also come from the entertainment side. You know, I know you're playing all kind of egos. You know, so.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Another music great told me one time, you know, Mr. Quincy Jones, he said, leave all the egos outside the door before you enter these premises. And I kind of carried that with me, you know what I mean? I know you need a certain amount. It's like premium in your gas tank, you know. You need a certain amount just to deal with all the negativity in the world. But you definitely have to make a conscious effort, I think, to keep that in check.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. So, my good brother, could I ask you to stick and stay, man? Let me jump to a musical interlude right quick, and I'll be right back with Mr. Kermit.
No problem. I'll be here.
Don't go nowhere, y'all.
This is Sweetie Love from Sweden, France, and you're listening to I Am Envy on Blog Talk Radio with your host, K-City. Yeah, it's a world movement thing, moving the world with their music. Loving it.
If you see me at low, going in low, I got to tell right in blue. And I like it when she call me baby, and I love it when she answers to you, my lady. And the way she made me feel last night, like an ecstasy pill, Mr. Christ. I'm in the club with six racks, bank statements. Where they do that? We pop cases, pay all cash. Little mama racist, she only like black. Cars act hard, hotel rooms are amateur. Presidential suite, residential meets thug stamina. Dudes throwing dollars, tell them up here, she's at my door. Aviator shades body like a coke bottle. Someone call the nurse, she got them going berserk. Pass me that coke thing, sir, got me out way. And we got a strong thing, nothing come between, and she freaks for the money. I like that though. Shut up, cause I beat this one on me, kind of hoe. I keep a nice roll, like a bowling ball. Money on the mind, that's why she answer your call. All about them dollar signs, the games at the mall. I'm moving through the hood. I'm always up to no good. If you see me at low, going in low. I got to tell right in wood. And I like it when she call me baby. And I love it when she answers to you, my lady. And the way she made me feel last night, like an ecstasy pill, Mr. Purple Sprite. And she be going strong, money going on. Ass out, pass out, the way she rock that song. Can we get it out? Not too hot in the club, in the middle of the floor. Yeah, I'm a dove. Girl, you know you trouble, feeling on your bubble. I'm trying to stay humble, I wanna play in the jungle. Amazon, play it up, then she stutter like Tourette's. Hover in the Lex, father, Nappia, yes. Pulling panties aside, let me see it get wet. I can't be timid, I ain't no pet. I wanna see your limit, ice on your breast. Nipples on swole, got me standing up. Yeah, I like the hold while I'm giving you that thrust. Girl, arch your back and whisper, it's lust. Stallion on the track, no matter how much I quit and I pull, you never get enough. I'm moving through the hood. I'm always up to no good. If you see me at low, going in low, I got to tell God in wood. And I like the way she call me baby. And I love it when she answers to you, my lady. And the way she made me feel last night, like an ecstasy pill, Mr. Purple Sprite. Yeah, boys only guap, gang, only soldiers are legends. We into everything, whatever ice chain made specifically for us. Marvel's game, ride the dummy train and the show bus. Kissing on the beamer, she ride like a diva. Every time I see her, I'm thinking, could I keep her? She just filled with leaders, don't mess with the help. The best way to greet her, introduce just dope. Let the money speak and stealth, goons ride for the wealth. She like pickles, carrots, eating shrimp salad. Like packs of double stacks, pistol maybe mac and that. Pimpy ill, you get it back, timid or not. Big balls you got, I'm louder, I'm badder. A booty moving faster, now I'm finna ask her. Hope you don't got no Anna. Listen, cause the top is where we aim, you best. I'm moving through the hood. I'm always up to no good. If you see me at low, going in low. around me, baby. And I love it when she answers to you, my lady. And the way she made me feel last night, like an ecstasy pill, Mr. Purple Sprite.
Hey, hey, we're back with Mr. Kermit Henderson from East Cleveland Music Distribution and Film. Yeah, for those who want to join us and want to join in, hit us up at 347-308-8747. Hit number one on your phone, let us know you're there, and we'll be glad to answer any questions you may have. Kermit.
Yeah.
Yeah, before we went away, you know, we're just kicking the game around, man. But I got a question for you, because I know a lot of the youngsters, should I say, that's maybe not good youngsters, but a lot of young people coming up in the industry.
New people to the industry.
Yeah, they look at a lot of videos, you know what I'm saying, and they really don't understand the mechanism, especially the way that it is now. You know, they still want to try to. Well, they don't really understand the importance of the social networking now. So I guess my question to you is, how do you see it from being in the industry as long as you have, and the way that we used to get music to retail and stuff, you know, when we had, you know, mom-and-pop stores and one-stops? How big a part do you see the Internet playing in that?
Well, considering I didn't even get on the Internet until 1991, I don't see it playing no part. That's when I actually started to get on the Internet, was in 1991. The reason why I know specifically, I had a contract with a company, and if I didn't get on the Internet, my contract was going to be null and void. So I said, okay, I better learn how to work these computers and laptops and stuff. That's why I started working my first laptop.
But do you see, I mean, just, well, you was able to bridge the gap, because I still talk
to
a lot of
like that. Like I said, back then it was nothing, but now it's everything. I mean, here's the one thing I don't like about it, Lamont, is I go to a lot of conferences and stuff all the time, and, you know, and I don't think I know everything. I feel like I can always learn something from going to a conference or, you know, to hear, you know, a peer speak on different things. But one thing, I was at a thing up in Chicago, and they mentioned about, like, getting a record deal on iTunes. And I was like, you know, I didn't want young people or people in the industry to get the idea of thinking that, oh, I just put my records on my iTunes and that's it, I'm done. No, you're not done. You know, I have to tell them the figures, like, these figures may be like a year old, but just to give you an idea, there were like 5 million songs on iTunes, but only 1 million sold even one copy or more. You know, so don't think that iTunes was the answer. Then last year, I think it was 19,000 albums were registered on iTunes for sale that sold one copy or less. You know, so I don't want people thinking that iTunes, you know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with iTunes. I'm not dogging iTunes. I'm just saying that don't think that's the answer. You know, you always got to get out here, you know, and promote yourself and mingle and meet people and all of that. But as far as, you know, getting out here, you are going to have to, you know, more or less pound the pavement and do things. And myself, people like Lamont, other people I work with, we can basically give you the information on how to do it. Like, how can I promote myself if I'm performing on weekends and I'm going to college, say, during the week? I work with artists that's doing that. I work with artists that's working on his master's at the same time he's working on his career. I don't want to say his name right now because, you know, that's unusual and some people may not understand it. So I'm going to just let him, you know, do his thing. I just wanted to mention that. But as far as, you know, it doesn't, you know, to me, music and anything else does not have to be a full-time job. You know, it's just as long as you are serious about it, it doesn't matter the time you put into it. If it's one day a week, if it's 7 days a week. Just when you do it, just be serious about it. And then hook up with the right people. You know, networking is key. The biggest thing that bothers me, Lamont, that's in the industry, is people don't take advantage of stuff that's free to them. You know, like your website, World Mobile Records. I mean, just to go there and join for free, to be a member for free, to ask you a question for free, get on your show for free. You know, especially for being a member of something. And they don't take advantage of what's free. They rather pay money. I don't understand it.
That's what I was just finna ask you, but you led into my next question is, I know that you go to a lot of events, a lot of music events, music conferences and seminars and stuff. How important would you tell our listeners that is, the artists?
I think it's important to go, to be honest with you, I would need for them to contact me and tell me which one they're considering going to, and I can tell them what to look for at that conference, because different ones are different. I think that your average conference, you have to know what to look for to make it valuable to go. You know, see, I deal with strictly the business side of it. I mean, if you just want to, drink or something, drink and party, then all of them are good to go too. You know, go ahead, go there. But I don't even do the nightlife. I do strictly the meeting people in the day, the conference stuff like that. And then I just don't do that. I don't knock people that do the evening stuff. I just don't do it. I just basically, my whole thing is networking and increasing my, my fan base, so to speak.
Right, and handling the business is not so much of the partying.
Right. I mean, don't get me wrong. I used to party. I just don't do it. I just don't party anymore.
So all in all, you would say it's important for artists to get out to these events and network.
I think what's really important is like I said, it's like the question you asked me, Lamont. I can't give you a general answer, but I'm going to give you an example. Like, I'm from Cleveland. Cleveland most of my life. Okay, in Cleveland, they have, like, the Nerve DJs. Okay, one of the head guys, Johnny O, the Nerve DJ, Johnny O, the heads of the Nerve DJs, he gives, like, events, like, every 3 months or whatever, where it's, like, little seminars or whatever. And things of that nature in your own city is what you should really cater to. You know, don't worry about running back and forth. Like, I just seen guys from Cleveland. I just seen them, like, I saw them in Kentucky. I saw them in Orlando. I saw them in Cincinnati. I saw them here. I saw them there. But they still haven't went from point A to point B yet because they're just basically taking money, running up and down the road, and not doing that, not getting the networking game on. They're getting there,
right.
I want to be seen, and, how does the girls game on? But the actual networking part, I don't see them doing it. I mean, they got a good hustle, and they're out there, but I just don't see them taking it to the next level of the networking side.
Let me ask you a question. You
got to make yourself known in your own neighborhood. I mean, like everybody want to get a record deal, right? You want to be on Def Jam, Interscope, or whatever,
Right.
Okay, so Bad Boy, whatever label. So my thing is that if you want to be on these labels, these labels are, don't want you calling them up. I'm gonna make you $1 million. I'm gonna do this. You know how I know you can make me $1 million? Show me that you can sell. Put your music out. Get your music out there. Let me see people paying $5, $10 to come see you perform. Let me see you on YouTube rocking the house of people that came to see you, not you rocking over Jay-Z's beats or something. Let me see people coming to see you doing your music. That's how you're going to get a deal. You're not going to get a deal, thinking you can just send somebody something or send them a demo that they didn't ask you for in the first place. You got to make yourself hot. Make somebody want you, just like a young lady. If she really likes you, you're going to put on some makeup, some lipstick, some perfume. She ain't going to just, come out the gym or go run around the house and come by your house. You got to make yourself attractive to the industry.
Got to be attractive, and that's the key word. You got to be attractive. You got to be in demand. You have to invest in your brand, because other than that, I mean, how are you going to sell anything? It just ain't going to happen. It's just going to happen. So what do you think about the people that's not taking full advantage of all the little social networking opportunities?
I just think it's ridiculous. I'll tell you what I do now. I have so many people contact me. I may get anywhere from 5 to 10 people a day contacting me because I make myself available, and being on shows like this don't help. I make myself available. So with that being said, when they call me or email me, first thing I do is ask them, what's your email address? What's your name, cell phone number, what's your email address? Then I turn around and I contact Jackie, who she's one of the biggest marketing people in the United States.
Coda Grooves. Let me do a shameless plug right now. Big ups to Jackie, Coda Grooves, and all the family over there.
Then she'll send them a form that's like a to figure out like exactly what they're doing. You know, how long they've been in the industry, what's the short term goals, long term goals, what social sites they have, what have they done, what they're trying to do, do they have a budget, you know, can they travel, you know, like just everything that you need to know about a person to try to help them. You know, because just them get on the phone, I can make you money. I can this, I can, okay, well, hold on to making me money. Let me see this questionnaire so I can see what's going on here. Then you'd be surprised at people, no, I'm not on Facebook. No, I'm not on MySpace. I'm like, well, why are we even on the phone?
Well,
you're not
how
on
about
MySpace.
The...
You're not on Facebook. What are we on the phone for?
Exactly. But they don't even understand the rules.
How about this one? I don't have an email address.
Wow.
I just went to that with a group out of Atlanta. I'm like, are you kidding me? And they was blowing my phone up like, you know, they was blowing my phone up like I'm Russell Simmons. I was like, just calm down. I said, what's your email address? We don't have an email. You're on Facebook? No. You're on MySpace? No. But we got hit. You know?
Wow.
I told Jackie, I can't believe it. I said, but Jackie, I don't dog them. I said, but tell you why. I said, because when I was working with Bone Thugs and they was about the same way. You know, it's like, you know, they was excited. We can do this, we can do that. But no, we don't have this. No, we don't have that. So you can't just dog them because they don't have. You got to educate them. Say, look, this is what you're going to really need
right.
if you're going to move forward. You know what I'm saying? Because you never know who you're dealing with, who you're really talking to. You know, I don't want to be, you know, I don't never want to be the person that somebody on stage getting the Grammy talking about they want to thank me for ignoring them 20 years ago.
Right.
Five years ago, whatever. I don't want to be that.
That's what I said was one of your strong features, one of your strong points, what I said earlier, because you're that guy. You will take the time and listen, and you will try to educate for those that are willing to hear what you're trying to say. And I guess that's my same curse and my same, what's the opposite of a curse, my gift is because I will listen. You know what I mean? I will listen, you know, and I want to hear. I want to stay current. You know what I mean? I never want to be a dinosaur, and once you stop listening and lose the ability to reinvent yourself, you know, you might as well go turn yourself into some oil.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, I just don't get it that anybody, I mean, because to me, you can have so much done by having, like, your MySpace, your Facebook, and don't fool around here and get like a Reverb Nation where you can have like just some people to email and they can go right to your Reverb Nation and see your bio, see your pictures, see your videos, hear your music, all
press
with one
release.
Click. You know.
Yeah, press release. They got a store.
Yeah.
They got everything.
You know, so, I mean, there's things out here available for people that, like I said, they won't take advantage of. I mean, it's just amazing.
Well, you know, like I said, they don't want to ask the proper questions. They want instant gratification. And people, whoever's listening to us today, you have to learn the rules before you play the game. That's with anything you do in life. You know, you can't have this false pride. You can't ask the plumber. This is not the construction business. You have to ask people that are knowledgeable in this business to get the correct answers. You know, and I'm sure you've had this situation too, Kermit. People come ask you questions, and you give them your honest opinion, and then they'll come back to you and tell you that they talked to such and such as somebody, and then you ask them, what did that person do? And then they're not even in the industry, and I already know what's happened to you because you just start laughing.
I start laughing because I know me, and I know I'm giving them the most accurate information that they could ever receive in their life, and they're going to listen to somebody else who might be ego-tripping or something or don't know or want to act like they know something, tell them anything, you know, and I'm giving it to them for free, and they're
right.
going to question what I'm saying.
And you'd be wanting to know, well, why did they ask you in the first place? You just should have went
yeah.
to that person.
I mean, I can see if I can say I answer any question for $9.95 or something. If I'm making some money off of them or something, you know, I'm giving them free answers. And they still, you know, doubting the free answer from somebody, you know. And my whole thing is I'm old school. You know, I come from the thing of your word is your bond and, do what you say and all of that kind of stuff. That's where I come from. And I would never, you know, intentionally misguide somebody. You know, I'd rather say no comment or just something than to just deliberately lie or misguide somebody, you know.
Yeah, and again, you know, without, you know, repeating myself, you know, again, that's one of the things that I really found, you know, embracing as far as your personality. And I guess that's why we click, too, because I try to give back, you know, every chance I can, you know, and I try, you know, and I know I want to live something, you know, once my life is over, I want it to be able to be recognized as I left something positive behind, you know what I mean? And I feel good, you know, when I could touch a group, touch a song, a singer, and know that I had something to do with that in a positive manner. I mean, do you get that same feeling, you know, when you have a successful project?
Yeah.
That was a quick one word answer, like, yeah.
Well, I was actually drifting off to something else I was going to say, and I kind of drift back and forth. So I heard part of what you said. I really didn't even hear the whole thing.
No, I was just really speaking on the ability to try to educate the new artists, the new groups come into business, and whether or not you receive any personal gratification when you know that you've touched a project and followed it through to its success.
Oh, man, it's like having a kid. It's like seeing your kid graduate from high school or seeing your kid, you know, graduate from kindergarten or whatever. I mean, it's like that with me. First of all, if I agree to work with somebody, I take it all personal. It's all personal to me. I only want the best. I only deal with the best. You know, so if somebody's a singer, and even if they're not the best singer, in my mind they're the best singer. So guess what? If you're not the best, let's go make you the best. Let's get some lessons. Let's do some interviews. Let's go work out. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's do all the things that's going to make you better than where you're at now.
How do you think their personality and attitude plays into that versus talent? And I guess what I'm asking is, I know you've dealt and ran into artists.
You can stop that question right now. If a person comes to me with a great attitude, the talent does not matter. I will assist them in bettering themselves. If they don't have talent, they just don't have talent. And guess what? I might say, look, you just need a job in the industry. You know, we're trying to place you somewhere within our company because you just don't have the talent. At some point, I tell them that. But in the meantime, if a person has a great attitude, I've been over backwards to help them out. But they have to, you know, be humble and all that, you know. And I'm going to tell you something that's kind of weird. You know, a few years ago, I started working with a lot of Southern artists. And, you know, and without me even saying anything, you know, I have, you know, young males and young females, Mr. Henderson this, Mr. Henderson that. Not the stereotype specifically, but, you know, I'm from Mississippi originally, but I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. But just to see how people, you know, want to be so familiar with you in the North, you know, it's like, oh, I know Kerm, you know, Kerm this, being Kerm that, you know, whatever, they want to be your best friend. But
right.
In the South, it seems like they want to respect you and your position. Good morning, Mr. Henderson. How you doing? I appreciate the fact you took my phone call, Mr. Henderson. And then there's somebody from Cleveland. Hey, Kern, what's up? Who is this? Oh, this is John Doe. John Doe who? You know, John Doe from last year. Oh, hey, John, what's happening? You know, but somebody from the South, it's a whole different respect. Now, it doesn't bother me with being familiar and all of that. I just noticed that different in different parts of the country.
Right.
It's just amazing to see
level.
How people that look the same, you know, but their, like I said, respect level and stuff is different. And it's not disrespectful to be familiar with people because everybody want to know somebody. Everybody want, you know, just like, you know, people from my, you know, age group, you know, we want to say we know Russell Simmons and we know Clive Davis and we want to be able to say, hey, Clive, hey, Russell, and all of that, you know, but really knowing what they're scared of, we need to be saying Mr. Simmons and Mr. Davis.
Exactly, to give them their proper respect.
You know, but everybody, you know, wants that familiarity, but it's like, you know, you got to me, just do something that make them, you know, get that. Just like I feel it's a blessing for me to get this nomination for the award. And what's odd, too, is that I've been in the industry a long time. I've always tried to be the guy behind the scenes. I never wanted to be out front. You know, I always like, you know, just let everybody else shine and other people I work with, other team members, let them shine. And I was always cool with just being like the coach or whatever. And just so happened this year I decided to go ahead, you know, especially with this nomination, I said, I'm going to go ahead, you know, and start promoting myself, getting out here or whatever, and just, you know, be, you know, in 2011, you know, 2010 to 2011, I was going to make myself like a political campaign. you know, so people could just see more of it. Because it's like, if you, when you look at it like this, this made me do it, Lamont. If you have a guy like me and you never even seen me before, heard of me or nothing, here go guy said, I got over 90 number one records and now close to 200 gold and platinum records that people have awarded me for the work I've done with a different project. You say, well, how can this guy even have this? I bet you heard of him.
Right.
So now I got to go and switch it back around. You know, you never heard of me because I was never one to jump into photos with P. Diddy. Guess what? I was the one taking the pictures. I never was the one jumping into the photos with Russell Simmons. Guess what? I was snapping the photos. Being that guy. I take the picture. No, I'm cool. I don't need that. I don't need a picture. I'm cool. Now I'm going to be the one jumping to the camera now.
Well, you know, it's like, too, you built such a foundation. I mean, you could play any position you want. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people really can't say that. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I mean, they can't. I mean, but you've earned the right and you did exactly what you wanted to do, the way you wanted to do it in order to do what you're doing now. And this is what I'm hearing, is the way you want to do it now. This is the role you want to play now. You know what I mean? You don't mind being the guy out in front, you know, but you were the guy all the time.
Right. I want to mention three projects that's coming out real soon. I'm working with, if you don't mind, because I'm really excited about them. One is one that has already, it's a single already out that's done real well, and that's Pastor James R. Adams and the Kojic Musicians and Choir out of Posen, Illinois. That's just southwest of Chicago, and they're phenomenal, writers, vocalists, musicians, everything. It's like, man, they have, you know, like, I went to the big release event they had back in September, and it was like amazing, man, to sit there and see these guys, you know, singing, playing the instruments, whatever, at the church. You know, it's like, it was amazing just, you know, watching them. And, they have an album coming out, you know, next year. I don't know the release dates yet, but, you know, just be on the lookout for them.
You gotta bring them through here, too, man. We play
definitely
music, man.
You know,
they're independent. You gotta bring them through here.
Right. There's another guy, the guy I work with named Mike Calhoun. He was with a group called the Daz Band, had a record I called Let It Whip that went platinum and ended up getting a Grammy. And he was one of the writers of the record that was actually on the flip side of it. You know, he actually gave me the original record I have in my possession. I'm going to put on a plaque and probably take a picture of it and put it on Facebook. The original vinyl 7-inch record of that. Anyway, like him, you know, he went from the dance band, and now he's doing gospel. He has a new song out that just come out of the studio, the remix and everything, and just get together. It's called God's Got My Back. And it has like a funky old school beat as far as, you know, Ohio's, you know. He's out of Ohio. Ohio's, you know, is known for the funk, you know, with groups like Zap and Ohio Players, Isley Brothers, Slaves. You know all the different ones. I can go on all day long. You know,
they can go hear this on your website too, right?
Yeah. Well, it's not up yet, but yeah, it will be on there. But I'm just saying, like, you know, him, Mike and I have always been friends, because I worked with the Daz Band back in the day. But now he's, you know, devoted his his music now. He's doing the Christian music, but he'll still play like with, you know, different rock bands and stuff or whatever. You know, as a guest player or whatever, but yeah, his thing is gospel now. And then one other young man that has that I was looking at him as like my son, because, you know, we've been working together for a couple of years and we've done a couple of projects together, and we still haven't put his album out yet because he sacrificed himself to work with all other people, including this Pastor James Ayanna project is a project he worked on. You know, he's talking about the person that's not selfish. That's Gabriel Bello. You know, he's like, you know, he's a, you know, and he's patient. He understands, you know, he trusts me. He believes in me, and that makes me believe in him more. You know, somebody that, you know, put their life in your hands, so to speak, their industry life in your hands, so to speak. You know, just make you just want to do that much more for that person, being a good person that, you know, has brought, you know, that has sacrificed. He produced my very first number one independent record I ever had, single. By an artist named Crystal Dove. She's no longer in the industry now, but he produced the record that was, you know, like I said, the very first independent number one record in Billboard as a single, you know, that was on, you know, our label. And, you know, so it's like, you know, he was the producer of that, and I just, you know, come across so many people. I mean, I can just name people on and on and on. I've only mentioned now the current projects. I work with a lot of tremendous people. Matter of fact, you know, one guy up in Las Vegas I work with that you met, and that's James Thomas, DJ number one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's right there in Vegas. And he's one of the people I work with. He does, you know, he did the tremendous remixes on Christelle project, and both of those records were number one. You know, I'm just blessed, you know, to just work with a wonderful group of people, you know, like yourself, you know, Jackie, Don Huggins, whose brother, you know, was married to Melbourne Boy. She has a new single out, by the way. Melbourne Boy has a new single. We got to get her on the show.
Absolutely.
And you know, my guy Mike that has lookingforairplay.com, you know, and then my guy Eugene out there in Los Angeles, Eugene Luckett, you know, he's a big industry guy as well. You know, just, you know, we're just blessed to have a lot of, you know, good network of people. You know, things look real bright for 2011. I mean, where everybody else is complaining and saying there's no money out here, you know, we're just trying to roll our sleeves up and make it happen.
That's all we can do is just keep doing what we do,
you know,
with a good heart, good spirit, honor, integrity, you know, and something that I would tell everybody, you know, the way the economy is now, you definitely need to focus on a team. You got to have a good team. It's nothing that any one person can do by themselves.
I tell you something, don't let finances guide your life. You know, just like I know, just like a lot of people, well, just like I've noticed, you know, like people, you know, they get in trouble. If somebody get in trouble, if I think all I'll do is, you know, run and grab a Bible or run to church or whatever. But, you know, going to church or whatever, and I'm not on here to preach to anybody, but, you know, going to church or doing whatever positive makes you feel good is very important. It's real healthy for you, too, to do things, you know, to get excited. Like, I do things, I still get excited going to, like, bookstores, you know, going to the library, going to bookstores. I mean, that may sound corny, but you get ideas. And just like, I don't like flying, I'd rather drive. I enjoy, like, driving from the East Coast to the West Coast, you know, like seeing the different mountains like in Mexico and Arizona that you don't have in on the East Coast, because the East Coast, they just straight look like mountains like everywhere else in the world, you know, but they're different there, you know, and I never saw them before, except when I was a little kid, you saw about all the, you know, Cowboys and Indians shows, you saw them, but they were, you know, black and white then, it's a color, you know, but
right.
You just, you know, see the beauty of America by driving.
Well, you know, the microwave society, that's one of their problems. The microwave society, they don't have time to take time to smell the roses no more. So, you know, they don't have time to do just what you're speaking of. And I'm one of those, man. I enjoy the cross-country thing, man, to see the flowers, man, the different, you know, the different growth in different states. You know what I mean? And just the air is different, you know. And,
I think it's about to Lamont. So, you know, I'm going to give you a street team pointer. Like, okay, let's say if I go to a toll booth, you know, and I see an older woman or whatever, someone she might be, you know, like gospel, I might give them a gospel promo record or something, a gospel single. If I see somebody younger, whatever, I might give them a rap record or R&B record. You know, is that as I travel, you know, it's like you know, you can't get out in every spot and, you know, and just stop everywhere and just do your promo thing. But you can just, if you just have promotion in your brain as you're moving along, you know, you might be getting gas to the gas station, you know, hear somebody play some music, right? And then maybe playing something similar to what you have. You say, hey, young man, this might be something you might want to check out. Hey, young lady, you might want to check this record out, too. And, you know, give them information with the, you know, and would you give somebody your CD, listeners, and if it's a promo or whatever, please have your name, your phone number, your email address, website, something on there. So if a person like it, they can contact you and find out where they can buy it at or where they can tell a friend to buy it at. Not just, you know, you just give a burned CD with nothing on there. All they can say is, but I got a hit record. They play for everybody, but nobody has any idea who it is.
And the important thing is you just made a physical, personal contact with this person, and that person will remember that. You know, that, and these are your potential fans, so never forget that. You know, these are the people that you hoping one day is going to support you. So, you know, that's very important, just what he said. You know, just take the time. Make that personal approach. I mean, that personal touch.
Another thing I do is, like, you know, like, you know, we going back about this being nominated thing is that the thing I feel good about is that I know I reach out to a lot of people. So when I go to conferences, you know, anybody can vote. You know, like listeners, anybody you meet, anybody can vote, right? So I make myself so available to people. You know, I feel like my chances are pretty good. If it's, you know, if it's just a know, your peers voting, because I know that the other people can't be reaching out like I do. I reach out every day, like I'm on the phone with you now. You know, I do this, I do things like this on a daily basis, maybe not on this grand of a scale, but, you know, somewhat every day. So I'm always out here. So if I get 3 votes today and 10 tomorrow and 1 day and whatever, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, I feel my chances are good because I reach out. And besides, I feel it's just an honor to be nominated. I mean, once you go there and look at the people in the category, you know, it's like one guy, Jackie sent me an email the other day. She said, look at your competition. I said, open the email up. I said, oh, my God. Here go. One of the guys being nominated just was awarded something like MTV as the DJ of the Year or something. I'm like, oh, my God. You know. There's another one of the guys was on TV. I'm not going to bitch their names. If I bitch their names, you might go vote for them. But if you be giving them publicity, I don't want to give them no publicity right now. I give it to them after the vote is over. Another guy is head of a large DJ, the biggest DJ organization in the United States, Urban, and he was on TV recently when they was doing the top 10 rappers. You know, they said he was the top 10 rappers of all time. If you ever saw that show, Eminem won, which that was controversial too with, you know, with the people. Anyway, he was on that show. So I'm dealing with people that's on TV all the time, MTV, supporting them and all this kind of stuff. I'm just a little old guy from, you know, little bitty small town in Ohio trying to compete with the world, you know. So but I'm reaching out there. Like I said, it's an honor for me just to be nominated because this is some phenomenal people in that category. And I'm only mentioning 2 people, but because that, when I first looked at the category, I'm like, oh, my God, this is almost impossible here. And then, but I ran across where a young lady was in the category, and I don't even remember her name, you know, when she was campaigning. Because when I saw 2 of the names that were just so, you know, huge, you know, the 2 I'm talking about, it's like I didn't even see none of them. I'm like, oh, man, with these 2 in here, this is impossible already. You know, but there's a lot of other people in here that's, you know, up there as well. And just these 2 are just household names, so to speak, in the industry, so to speak. You know, and that's why I say I'm not a household name yet, but I plan on being one. But I plan on being one by helping people, you know, by saying that this is the goal. This man here taught me this. He told me how to do that. He told me the right way for this, right way to do that. Because one thing I've always done to the industry is that I hate that when people come to me, they went to some kind of con artist or something, and they took all their money, and they don't even have money left to hardly even survive, let alone be in the music industry. I think they listen to the wrong person, telling them the wrong thing. So that's one thing about me. I'm not rich or anything, and I just feel blessed that, you know, that I don't have to rip nobody off to get ahead in life or whatever, you know, like other people I've seen in the industry. That, you know, I just, you know, like, I'm just glad to pass down information to somebody that wants to listen to get it. That's it. You know, just, you know, I just want a good ear, you know. You know, within the time frame that I have to give information, to just give information. Just like I did an event in Atlanta last Thursday, and I'm not positive if I'm going to burn, but I want to actually find out. I'm talking off the phone with you. I got to make some calls. But I went to an event in Atlanta where I was at a club for like 3 hours where anybody could come in there with their demos or whatever and talk to me about their career for free. You know, and I drove, you know, it cost me $100 to go to the event. But I invested $100 of my, you know, of my hard-earned money to be there, you know, drive the hotel, food, and all that stuff, to be there, you know what I'm saying, to just help other people. You know, so that's the kind of stuff I do, you know. So I'm going to keep doing it. I mean, like I said, I feel, you know, I'd rather invest in that than, there's, you know, there's a whole lot of other things you could invest in, you know, that, like throwing money away. So I'd rather just, you know, like I said, if you do good, it's going to come back at you. So I'm not mad at all.
No. Yeah, and it's amazing how people don't really take advantage of stuff that's right there before them. But that's all we can do, man, all we can do is keep doing what we do and to reap our own blessings, man. We just got to keep doing it, you know. We got to keep doing it for the love of the business that we chose to be in.
I want to mention something else, too, Lamont. Don't be afraid to volunteer to do something. No. You know, the reason why I say that, because that's my legacy, is that I got into the industry. Well, this helped me in the industry. Was I volunteered for the Upward Bound program at Case Western Reserve University. And by me volunteering, because I was too young to get a job. You have to be a sophomore to get a job. I was a freshman. And so they so I did some volunteer work. So by volunteer, they hooked me up with a good job, you know, which led to, you know, to me moving forward my life, moving on or whatever and all that. And I just want to say, you know, like, don't be scared to volunteer. You know, whether it's like, you know, I mean, you know, I know a lot of, you know, I know a lot of people, like I've, one young lady I work with.
How's the scenario? No, man, I don't want to do that, man. I'm not getting paid, man.
I'm not going to perform, man. People got to, you know, speaking of events, but by that event, I'm still thinking about that event I was at that you had, man. That thing was just so beautiful on the rooftop of that place. The event that I was at, man, that was just a lovely event, lovely night. I just, you know, and that was like a, I mean, I have to pat you back again, you know, all the stuff you went through to try to give an opportunity for people to showcase their talents to the world, you know, right there in Vegas, which is not, you know, which people don't normally go to Vegas to see talent. They go there to throw money away.
Right.
But, you know, I thought that was amazing, the event that you had.
And it makes me touch on that too, Kermit, this thing that we have so many entertainers, and I'm going to go back to the branding thing just briefly. You know, the artists, the new artists, just do not understand the importance of creating a buzz, getting out there, you know, touching people, like you said, passing out product, you know, doing everything that they could do, you know, before they try to go out and get paid for a job, man, because nobody's going to pay you if they don't know you. You know, it's just it's unreal. You know, a lot of these artists, now they watch too many videos and TV. They don't understand this is the music business. This is not music play. You know, who's going to pay you to come do an event or fill a Coliseum if they can't sell a ticket?
Right.
You know, so it's definitely a process, and that goes back into what we were speaking a little bit earlier about signing, you know, redundant. You have to make yourself appealing, and that whole thing about becoming appealing is you got to create public demand, and how you do that is do with what we're saying on the show today. You know, you have to take the gloves off. You know, you have to get out there. You have to believe in yourself first. Because nobody's going to believe in you more than you. You have to believe in what you're doing first.
Right.
Well, that wasn't for you. That was for the listeners.
Because
I know you know, because that's what you do. You know what I mean?
Right. I'm just saying, I'm in the church, you know, amen.
Yeah, you invested in your brand every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every day, you know, I'm hearing you, and that's what we all have to do. You know, we all have to do. We all have to put our star player in the best light, and that's in line with God's word too. Because every day you should strive to be better than you were the day before. Anyway. So, without that. Come and hang on with us. Let me jump to another musical selection so people won't think that all we do is talk on the show and don't play music. But we're going to play a song for y'all, and we will be right back.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce to you Mr. Jewell Patrick. I really wanna know what's on your mind.
I like so far today. You about ready to hit a home run in a minute.
Well, that's what we try to do up here, man. You know, the majors don't need our help, man. So, you know, we try to put, you know, some of these independent hits out there, you know, at least let the listeners, you know, have a choice anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was listening to you, and I went and checked the email, and I see a friend of mine, Don Huggins, sent me an email to where I didn't know that Don King's wife had died. I know their family. His daughter used to come shop at my record store in Cleveland. She was a good friend to a young lady that worked at my store. And I remember seeing her because she was in high school. But
I didn't know that either, man.
Yeah, looking at the, you know, right here, since she passed on it was December 1st. Let's see, December 2nd, she passed. They had some memorial service in Cleveland, which is, you know, where I'm from. That's where Don King is from as well. On the 11th, which I didn't even know about that. Nobody told me. I just happened to see this in this email here, email thing. But, yeah, just wanted to mention that. That I, you know, felt, you know, close to the family.
Well, definitely. Our prayers go out to, you know, Don and, you know, his entire family. And we know it's some trying times. But, you know, like I always say, you know, God's will is going to supersede ours each and every day.
You know? And speaking of figures and out here in the industry in the world, I want to say what's up to Joe Jackson, head of the Jackson Clan there, and he's in Las Vegas a lot. And I wanted to.
Papa Joe.
Yep. I want to thank him for taking me out to dinner the last time I was there and showing me his star. I think it was at the Palms Hotel. It was the Palms. I get a couple of mixed up, but I think he has a star. He and the family has a star